Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
I had been prayed for by so many people and hadn't got healed yet, and I was just at the point I was depressed. And
many times you were prayed for?
Yes.
How many times do you think you were prayed for?
Well, people started praying for me when I was 4 years old. For over 20 years, we always went to church, so I don't know how many hundreds of people.
Hundreds of times.
Probably, wow. Even thousands of times.
Maybe thousands of times you were prayed for, and no results at all?
I might get better once in a while. I might get a little better, but no, I was pretty much the same.
Now, here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force.
We have a young lady named Kayla Landis, and she's going to tell us things that God's doing in her life that you may not hear anywhere else. So join with me in our research to see what God is doing. I want to hear your story today, and what's your plan? What's the first thing you'd like to tell us?
I felt like I was supposed to go to the Global School of Supernatural Ministry. It was a journey that brought me to that point. I wanted more of God in my life, and I wasn't really sure how to go about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I read my Bible and went to church and, you know, led a good life, or so I thought, and still felt...
You thought it was a good life. You were a person that went to church. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Jesus and had a relationship. I read my Bible. I prayed. But it felt like my life was still empty to a point that I was missing something.
I had a similar experience. I was so hungry for more.
But leading up to that was part of my journey was my parents accepted the Lord as their Jesus as their personal Savior when I was a baby. So I was raised in a Christian home with morals and everything, and I come from a big family. I'm the oldest child of 10 kids.
10 kids? Ay,
yes.
Caramba.
My youngest brother is 10, and our family is very close, and we did lots of stuff together. I got sick when I was 4 years old, had a DPT shot. They gave me, I went to a preschool, and they gave me another DPT shot without checking my medical record. And I almost died when I was 4 years old, and God intervened, and I didn't die, but I became really sick. And I was really sick over the next 20 years of my life. I had a few of the things I had asthma, and it was so bad I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs without being out of breath. I had a weak immune system, so I couldn't be around people because I would get sick. So it was hard to be around people. And I took a lot of medication every day, 22 different medications a day just to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept getting more and more sick. And the doctors weren't quite sure why. And then I was at church on November 5th, 2006. The pastor was up front and he was teaching, and I just felt like I was supposed to go up after the service and ask the pastor and the elders to pray for me to be healed. And I had been prayed for by so many people and hadn't got healed yet, and I was just at the point I was depressed. And
many times you were prayed for?
Yes.
How many times do you think you were prayed for?
Well, people started praying for me when I was 4 years old. For over 20 years, we always went to church, so I don't know how many hundreds of people.
Hundreds of times.
Probably,
wow.
Probably even thousands of times.
Maybe thousands of times you were prayed for, and no results at all?
I might get better once in a while. I might get a little better, but no, I was pretty much the same.
Okay, mm-hmm.
And so I felt like I was supposed to go up front and ask the pastor to pray for me, and I was just like, I really didn't want to because I was afraid that if someone else prayed for me and I didn't get healed, I didn't know if I could live with the disappointment again.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
And so I was like, God, if this is really you, then I want you to confirm this to me. And my pastor gave a word of knowledge. I didn't know what a word of knowledge was, but it was basically, this is what he said. He said, I feel if anybody has any stomach problems, that God wants you to come in, up and get prayed for after service, because he wants to heal you today.
Did your pastor do that very often?
No, that was the first time I had ever heard him do that.
Where was that at?
It is Harvest Christian Fellowship. It's in Angola, Indiana.
Okay, quite a distance away. That's where you were, uh-huh.
Yes, about 600 miles away from Mechanicsburg.
Mm-hmm.
So my pastor said that, and I was like, I was crying, and I'm like, are you really sure, God? Are you really sure you want to heal me? Mm-hmm. And I wanted another confirmation, because I was still scared. And my mom was sitting beside me, and she leaned over, and she said, you're supposed to go up and ask to be prayed for after service. God wants to heal you, and this is confirmation from him.
Oh, my.
And I lost it then. I started crying even harder, and I was like, wow, God just said the word through my mom that I was asking him to tell me. So he confirmed through my pastor and through my mom that he wanted to heal me.
Did she do this ever before?
No, she hadn't.
This is like a first time for her to have words of knowledge. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I went up, well, after the service was over, I asked my mom and dad to go up with me, and I'm still crying. And at that time, I had pneumonia, and I was really, really sick. I could hardly breathe, and they went up front with me. When I got pneumonia or bronchitis, which I would get quite a lot, my lips would turn blue because I wasn't getting enough oxygen. And so they went up with me, and I didn't tell our pastor everything that was wrong with me, because I figured I'd scare him if I told him how many things were medically wrong that the doctors had said. So I just told him that I had asthma and had some stomach problems and allergies. So
Allergies?
Yeah, really bad allergies. I was allergic to food and water.
Food?
Yeah.
How did you eat?
Well, I could count on both hands the things that I could eat. I could have rice and red potatoes, green beans, carrots, and sometimes I could have pasta. And those were the only things I could eat.
Those were the only things you could eat. You must have got tired of that.
Yes, I did. Years of the bland diet, it was very boring.
No meat?
I could have chicken sometimes.
Ice cream?
Definitely not.
Oh, my.
If I had anything with milk in it at all, I would wake up with bronchitis or pneumonia.
Mmm.
So,
okay.
So I went up front, and they prayed for me, my pastor and the elders and my parents and a few other people in the church. They prayed for me, and I felt really warm, and I felt like this peace that came over me that I'd never felt before. And I wasn't quite sure what it was, but I could hardly stand up. And I thought something was wrong with me. I thought, because with the pneumonia, sometimes I couldn't stand. I would get lightheaded. This was a lightheadedness that I had never had before. So
And heat?
Heat.
Where was the heat at?
It was kind of all over my whole body. I just felt this like I was wrapped in a warm blanket.
Oh, okay. That kind of warmth. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it was just like through my whole body. And so I went over and I sat in the front pew at church, and I was sat there, and I'm still crying, and I was like, Jesus, I don't feel any different, but I know I'm healed. I just had a peace that I was healed.
Oh.
So I started saying, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Thank you for healing me. And all of a sudden, I could breathe like I never remember breathing before.
Oh, thank
you. My lungs opened up, and I just took a really deep breath, and it was so cool, because like 3 years before that, it had some testing on my lungs, and oxygen didn't get in the bottom half, the bottom quarter of my lung. The doctors weren't sure why, but that part of my lung was dead in both sides.
Okay. Mm.
And now all of a sudden I could breathe, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, God, thank you for healing me. Thank you. And so I just kept thanking him, and then I could breathe better, and I knew that I was healed. And so then, I felt like I was supposed to go off all of my medication at once. I wouldn't recommend that to anybody.
You say you wouldn't recommend that, but you felt that you should get off all your medication at once.
Yeah.
And you had a lot of medications.
Yes, I took 22 different ones a day.
22 what, pills and liquids,
pills
or shots?
And inhalers, and I also used breathing treatments, a nebulizer for my lungs.
Okay, you'd breathe her with that, I guess.
So, and if I had missed one pill or one inhaler, one breathing treatment with a nebulizer, if I missed one of anything, the next morning when I woke up, I would have pneumonia.
Oh, my.
Or bronchitis. And
how could you leave home?
Sometimes it wasn't very easy, but I wanted to try to have as normal a life as possible.
What about going to school?
I wasn't able to go to school. I had to get a full-time job so that I could have medical insurance because I couldn't stay in my...
What a story you're telling us. Okay, go on.
So I had the dream when I graduated from high school is I wanted to go to a Bible school and get my nursing's degree, but that wasn't possible because I was too sick. I wasn't able to... I could hardly work a 30-hour job a week, let alone try to go to school. So that wasn't an option at that point. So I told my parents later that day when we were leaving church, I said, I feel like I'm supposed to go off all my medication. And their eyes got really big, and I could see the fear on their faces because they knew without the medication I would die.
That upset them. They didn't have the same experience you did. They believe you were healed.
Well, yes, they did believe I was healed.
Still, they had a lot of fear.
They did. And I was talking back and forth with God. I felt like this little voice in my head talking to me, and I knew it was God. I know that sounds funny, and some people it's weird, but... So I was talking and to God, and he said, I healed you. And I'm like, yes, I know you did. I thank you. And he's like, okay, go off all your medicine. And I'm like, what? I can't go off my medicine. I'll get sick. And he's like, do you believe I healed you? I'm like, well, yes. He said, well, if you believe I healed you, then you don't need the medicine. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to trust you. And I said, I'll know by tomorrow if I'm healed or not. Because if I didn't take my medication the rest of that day, then I knew I would, and I wasn't healed. I knew I'd wake up with pneumonia or not wake up at all the next morning.
Oh, my.
And so when I told my parents on the way home from church, they were like, are you sure this is from God? And I said, yes. They said, okay, we love you and we believe you and we'll support you. And so when we got home, we prayed and said, God, if this is you, then give us all three the peace for me to go off my medicine. And God gave both my parents the peace for me to go off my medicine too. And even though I was 24 years old, I was still living at home because I couldn't take care of myself.
Yes, my. And so... What happened is your mother and your dad and you all had peace. You said you prayed that God would do that as a confirmation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was 4 years ago, or no, 3 years ago, and I haven't had medicine since then. God has totally restored my life and healed me.
Oh, praise God. And now you're going to school. Wow. Isn't this wonderful?
Fine. So after I got healed, I felt God telling me I needed to go to Global. And I'm like, okay, God, what is Global? And he's like, it's a school in Mechanicsburg. I knew a very little bit information about the school. I didn't know very much. And I was like, I've never been there. I don't know if I want to go there. So I argued with God for the next 5 months about going to the school, which I wouldn't recommend. I was miserable.
You didn't want to come? You were afraid? Well, tell us.
I was afraid. I was afraid to leave my family. Like, I had just gotten my life back.
Uh-huh.
And I could be normal, and I could do things with my family. And then to leave everything I knew and everything that was comfortable, I wasn't sure if I was ready for that yet.
I understand.
So by March of 2007, I felt like I was supposed to go, and so I applied for the Global School of Supernatural Ministry, and I didn't have any money to pay for it. And one of the things on the application that you fill out is they ask you how you're going to pay for school. And I'm just like, my remark to that question was, I don't have any money, and I don't know how I'm going to pay for this, but I feel God wants me to come. And if he wants me to come, he's going to take care of everything I need. And he did. God provided $30,000 that year to pay for my school and to pay some of my medical debt down so that I would be able to work and have enough to live on while I was at school.
Okay.
So God just, I made a list and he started marking the things off as one by one they happened.
You made a list. It amounted to what, $30,000? How did this money came in?
Well, it came in different ways. Some of it came in, I had been working at a really good job. I worked for the state of Indiana, and so I cashed in all of my retirement. Everything I had that I was able to sell, I sold everything so that I could come to school. And then someone stepped forward that I had never met before and agreed to pay for my full first year of school.
Oh, wonderful. Somebody from church?
No, somebody that was associated with Global that heard about me. I had never met them before, but they had heard about me, and they offered to pay for my schooling that year.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. And just people gave me money. I started getting checks in the mail. It was really weird because I knew God, if he wanted me to come to school, he was going to provide. I just never realized how he would provide.
Oh, my.
It was quite amazing. And I had money that came in, and when I left home, it's about a 600-mile drive. And I left home, and I filled my car up with gas before I left. I had sold my truck to be able to come to school, and I had bought a car. And when I left home, with 600 miles drive, I didn't have any money to refill my car up. I had no gas money except for...
No, you didn't have any gas money when you started out?
No, I didn't. I filled my car up with the last of my money I had.
Where'd you fill it up at?
I filled it up at home, like 2 miles from my house.
Okay.
And I prayed that God would make the gas stretch. He did. I I got all the way out here, and then I drove around for about a week. I think I got 800 miles of gas on one tank of food.
Oh, wonderful.
And that's never happened since then. My car normally gets about, if I'm doing highway driving, I might get 32 miles of a gallon.
Okay.
Let alone 800 out of one tank. So God just, like, provided, and I think back, and it still puzzles my mind because I can't figure out how he did it, but he did it.
He did it.
He did it. And then I came to school, and my life was about to change totally again. One of the requirements for our school is to go on a mission trip to Brazil. And I went to Brazil and just had these totally awesome experiences where I felt the love and power and peace of God come on me while I was praying for people.
Yes.
And it was just so amazing. I remember this one church we went to.
So now you're in Brazil. We're into the... Oh, yes. Let's hear about the power of God came on you.
Yeah.
And you had an impartation? Was that?
Yes. And so then we went to one of the churches we went to. There were so many cool things that happened. We prayed for so many people. But one of the things that I think touched my life the most was we were in the small church. There might have been, I don't know, 150, maybe 200 people in the church. And they had us line up in the front, and we were the Americans, so everybody that was American should know how to pray for people and have this great power on them and everything. And I'm looking at the people around me in the audience and the pastors of that church, and I'm like, you have more power than me is what's going through my mind. I was scared. And here they are, they're lining up for us to pray for them.
Oh, were you surprised about that?
Yes, I wasn't ready for that. Yes.
Isn't somebody made a mistake?
Definitely. And then what kept going through my mind the whole time I was there, too, is somebody else paid for me to come on this mission trip. And it just, like, blew my mind to think that somebody else paid for me to go there to be able to pray with people and watch them get healed.
Wonderful.
And so they called the ministry time. People started lining up in the front, and I didn't notice at first, but then I started realizing after the second child I prayed for, everybody in the line in front of me were parents with children or children by themselves. Like one of the babies that I prayed for was a newborn on up to probably about 13 or 14 years old. But the only people that were in my line to be prayed for was children.
Children,
and there was about 30 of them.
What a line.
Yeah, and I was just like, it made me, and I started crying, and I remembered the Bible story in about Jesus, where the parents brought their children to Jesus for him to bless. And I just started crying, and I said, who am I, Jesus, that I am to pray for these children to bless them?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, sometimes you are the only Jesus that they will see.
Yes, uh-huh.
And so I'm crying, and I'm trying to pray for these children, and their parents kept saying, we want you to bless our children. We want our children to have what you have.
Oh.
And it just broke my heart that that I had the privilege to be able to pray for people and to bless them like Jesus prayed for the children in the Bible and blessed them. That wasn't my first night, but it was one of the nights. I think it was my first week there. It was one of the first few nights. But in that line, there was this little boy, and he was at the beginning of the line. He was probably about 12 years old, and he had a beautiful smile on his face. And he was standing, and he kept letting the other children go in front of him. There was parents with toddlers and stuff. So this little boy, he was the second child from in the beginning of the line of 30 kids. And by the time I got in praying for everybody, he was at the end of the line, and I hadn't prayed for him yet. So he was the last child I got to pray for, and he came up, and he's got this beautiful smile on his face, and I'm like, I asked my interpreter, I said, ask him what he needs prayer for, and I thought he was going to say more of Jesus or something like that, and he told the interpreter, he said, my leg was crooked when I was born, and he told us he had had surgery, and there was a metal rod in his leg, and then I looked down, he pulled his pant leg up a little bit, and his ankle was crooked from in his foot was like turned in almost sideways to his other foot, so he couldn't walk very well, and he definitely could not run. And so we had him sit down and we prayed for him, and we started praying, and we watched his leg, his left leg was an inch and a half shorter than his right leg, and we watched as God grew his leg out right in front of our eyes.
The leg with the metal rod?
Yes.
Oh my.
Yes, and his mom was standing beside him. She was standing back and she let him come up, but then when we started praying, she came up to stand beside him, and he's looking at his leg, and she's looking at his leg, and I am, and I think the look on his face when his leg grew out and the look on my face when his leg grew out probably matched. We both could not believe that his leg had just grown out.
Oh, my.
And then we started praying for his ankle, and his ankle started turning.
Right while you were watching, his ankle was turning.
Right while we were watching, my hands were on his ankle, and I wasn't moving my hands, but his ankle was moving under my hands where it should be.
Oh, glory to God forevermore.
And then this little boy, he got up, and I said, why don't you try running? And he ran to the back of the church and ran into his mama's arms. And they were both crying, and everybody standing around him was crying because he had never been able to run in his life.
Oh, glory to God.
That was probably those two stories, the children praying for them and blessing them, and that little boy's leg growing out and his ankle healing right in front of us, totally changed my life. Just being able to experience that, I felt so blessed that God would allow me to be the person to help pray for that little boy and to watch his life be transformed right in front of our eyes.
That God would allow you to be the one to pray for him and see him transformed right in front of your own eyes. You know, you'll never be the same again. Never.
No.
You know, and people, they may argue with you. I don't believe in that stuff. Be able to listen to that?
Definitely not.
No,
I've seen many stories of people that have been healed who ever believe that again.
Amen. Amen.
And before I even came to school, I felt like I would be here for your mom. I just want people to know that there's still hope, even when you feel like you're all alone and there's nobody there with you, and it feels like it's hopeless and that you're gonna die. That God's there and He loves you. You're His son. You're His daughter, and He just loves you so much. And He doesn't want to see you suffering. He doesn't want to see you in pain. So you can just go to God and tell Him all the pain that's in your body or in your heart or in your mind, and He'll just take it away because He doesn't want His children to be in pain.
Amen. Well, my precious sister, and I thank you for coming in today and just sharing this with us. It's truly a miracle that people need to hear. If today our program touches your heart and you too at one time were timid, afraid, you didn't know what life was about, and things have been done to you when you couldn't defend yourself or you were too afraid to defend yourself, I want to let you know today that God is willing and able to heal whatever happened in your life. Heal your life, your mind, bring order back into your life. And I feel God's presence today in the studio, that God wants to touch some people out there, someone out there that needs that healing and restoration because of some terrible mistake done to them when they were not able to defend themselves. So here I go. My Heavenly Father, my Savior, my Lord, I ask you today for that special one out there in our audience that's listening to the program right now that realizes that they too had a terrible mistake done to them when they were not able to defend themselves. I pray, Heavenly Father, for your presence right now to enter the room, the car, wherever they're at right now, that they can sense you and that you would touch their body and bring healing from all the damage that was done, the damage in their mind, in their life, in their body. I ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would heal that body and heal that life. And we will give you the praise and honor forever. Thank you, my Heavenly Father. Amen.
Oh, there was a woman in the Bible days. She had been sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by. So she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, "Oh, Lord, and oh, Lord, and oh, Lord, and oh, Lord." Said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." Spent her money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said, "It was I who just wanna touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now." She stood there crying, "Oh, oh, 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 and oh, oh, Lord, and oh, oh, Lord." Said, "If I could just touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll be made whole right now."
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania 15110. That's all for today. God bless.